Tampa, St. Pete Sports Connection. We are streaming on Radio St. Pete and stpetesportsconnection.com. Just another little reminder to tune in to 96.7 FM, which is also the Bay's local music leader. They have over 830 local artists.
Oh, wow.
And they're growing at an incredible rate with J. Cobb, the man with the plan, as music director. And at 12:15, we're going to have Madman Matt come on and give us a little feedback on what's happening. He does the Bucks Watch Party every Sunday here with Ferg at the fabulous Sports Bar and Grill downtown here. Right now we are live, as I said before, at 13th Street and Central Avenue. And the crowds are starting to come in now, and for the game day of college.
Yep, I'm definitely starting to see a few different shirts, jerseys, et cetera, different teams. So it's always a great experience to watch sports here. Always a good experience to watch sports here at Ferg's, because you never know, like, what group of fans are going to be here. There might be, like, some Michigan fans at one table and some, you know, Florida fans at another. It's such an awesome experience to watch sports here.
It is, and you never know what you're going to see, just like what you said. I mean, I just saw some ladies. We may grab them later. The girls in Wisconsin walk. They were coming in. There was about seven or eight of them in red shirts. We had a couple of other guys, extremely colorful. I thought maybe my buddy here was going to be wearing his colorful shirt. Did you see the Blazers that these other guys just wore in?
I did. It's great. I just made sure that you were live and good now, and let me go around the other side, and we'll talk a few minutes.
All right. Perfect. This is Madman Mac that I'm talking to. He is he's another legend here at Ferg's, and he's been here for 28 years helping to make the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill a really fun place. So, Mac, tell me a little bit about, I know you had been a retired policeman.
That is correct.
For 32 years, you said earlier?
32 years I did for the city of St. Petersburg.
And then you became Madman Mac. Tell me a little bit about how that came about.
Well, I actually became Madman Mac before I did the police work. My brother used to work in radio, and he DJed on the side at roller skating rinks and stuff like that. And as a kid, he was kind of my mentor, and I said, oh, I want to do that. And then I finally got him to show me how to do it, and then we started our own company, and he's since retired. But it's a lot of fun, and brings joy to a lot of people.
So besides the Bucks Watch Party, what are some of the other events that you're doing?
Well, obviously here at Ferg's, we do all the private Christmas parties. We got a bunch of bands that are coming up. I don't have the schedule with me, unfortunately, right at the moment. But we're usually DJing here every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday's NFL. Today we're here with all the college games. We do the audio for the big games. Obviously, this morning is Baylor.
Obviously, Baylor. So what are your thoughts about Baylor?
Not a big fan of either one, I'm going to be honest with
okay.
you. So I'm not really pulling for one team or the other. Now, later on, the big game, Georgia and Alabama, that's a different story.
That's going to be a really big game at, 4 o'clock today? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, are you going to stay strictly, and are you an Alabama or a Georgia man?
I'm going to go with Alabama.
Okay.
I think they're the underdogs, from what I've been told, but I think they're going to pull it off today.
Well, I think the two coaches have an interesting history as well, and I think it's going to be interesting in that aspect of having worked together before. And I'm kind of going to go for Georgia. I'm going to go for number one right now.
Are we going to put a little wager on it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Good.
What are you drinking these days?
Well, I'll wink at you, and we'll bet a Pepsi. How's that?
A Pepsi is perfect because I'm a water and lemon girl myself. So I think it'll be interesting and an interesting game today. I was just talking about the 8 o'clock game that's going to be on tonight, which is Michigan and Iowa, and that is going to be quite the game as well.
Yes, it will be. And speaking of Iowa, obviously you're here. Filling in today for Mike Ricard?
I am, and I know he's freezing his little buns up there with his little scarf and little, probably Pendleton little hat on.
Well, what I was told is he's out doing an investigative report today, and he's at the Harborside International Golf Course Center outside of Chicago. At least that's what I was told. I think he's up there maybe playing around or probably cheating or at the 19th hole, I'm not sure.
I know he likes the 19th hole, and but you know, it, on the tee is the other part of Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. So, you know, we're hoping down the road to get onto some of those golf courses and do some interviewing and do some radio shows with some of those big tournaments and events.
Well, he told me last week that we have something in common, that Arnold Palmer is our favorite golfer.
Wow. Wow, interesting.
But he had to outdo me and tell me how he met Arnold Palmer and all this other stuff. You know, I haven't had that privilege, and I haven't yet got to tell him my Arnold Palmer story with my dad.
Which is?
Well, I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and my dad, who also, his idol was Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
My dad worked construction, and he had called his boss and said, listen, Arnold's playing, and I want to go to this, see him play. And all his big bosses said, no, you can't go. Well, what did my dad do? He went anyway.
Went anyway, right.
And lo and behold, on black and white TV, he's standing there at one of the greens, and his boss calls him the next day and goes, so how did things go at the job site yesterday? Dad, oh, it was no problems. He goes, well, I sure thought I saw somebody look just like you at the golf course.
And
so he got caught. And then his boss said, if you're going to do that again, you better invite me next time. Then it'll be okay.
Yeah. Wow. We had that's quite a story, too. But, you know, it always seems like whenever we're trying to do something and not get caught, that what happens? We end up getting caught.
Yep.
I'm going to have Michael come on and just say hi as well. And Michael is another author that has written a couple interesting books that we're going to talk about a little bit later. But I might, I think one of them is called Curves at the Crossroads. Curveball.
Close.
I'm close. Well, he's in his second edition, and I was looking at the cover yesterday, which I really, really liked, because I'm in my fourth edition with my Flip Side of Glory, and I think I want to know whoever is your artist. I really would love to have them do something for me. Absolutely.
Very cool. Also, I was told, I think in like 10 minutes, Mike's supposed to call in live on the air. At least, I'm not sure. Maybe he's telling me a fib. I'm not sure.
That's news to me, but it would be great to hear from him.
Yeah.
He texted me earlier this morning, told me to make sure to break a leg. So I said, all right, I'll try to do that and not hit my head on the darn stairwell again, which I've done about 3 times.
I don't have that problem. I go right under.
So I want to know how you got the name. How did that come about?
Well, last name is McTavish.
Yeah.
So everybody called me Mac.
Right.
And they said because of my antics and the way that I am, I was Madman Mac. So it stuck with me ever since.
Was there another Mad Max?
Mad Max, the movie,
which
M-A-X, but I'm M-A-C.
Mel Gibson. Yep. And so you must be doing some other crazy things to get that name.
Well, you know, I can't give out all my secrets.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, I'm just curious.
I hear you.
I'm just curious. You know, as I said before, we are live right now at the infamous Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We are the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, streaming on St. Pete Radio, RadioSt.Pete.com, and we are streaming live on StPeteSportsConnection.com. So just a reminder to pick us up on all of our new seven stations that we are on, thanks to our Tantalk affiliate out of Clearwater. So we are going again from the Tampa to the Sunshine Skyway, all the way back up to Zephyr Hills, and we're covering Pinellas, Pasco, and Hillsborough counties now. So we're very excited to be able to expand out. All of Champa Bay, that's right. And talking about Champa Bay, we've got the Bucks playing in Atlanta tomorrow, which is going to be an interesting game. I think it's
1 o'clock game, I believe.
It's going to determine our NFC championship, yay or nay. So that's going to be interesting.
Should be a great game.
You have any thoughts about Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards on that situation? I guess there was one other player, too, that got suspended. But Antonio Brown, he was already suspended for two games. Yeah. So I think that'll be an interesting call, you know. Me personally, I know they have to do mandates. I know they have to do mandates to protect the players and the fans. I understand that. What I don't understand is if you're objecting to getting the vaccine, maybe you've had COVID, for instance. I have several friends that have had COVID, and their antibodies are way high. Why not just make them, like they're doing with LeBron James right now, just keep getting retested before they're allowed to get on the field or in the locker room? It just seemed to me, you know, of course I'm a little different, kind of a little rebel, but what are your thoughts on that, Mac?
Well, I don't like to get political.
Okay.
I really feel that it's each individual's choice, and I'm not going to chastise somebody that's anti-vaccine or somebody that says yes, you should get it. That's your views. I mean, it's just like the presidential election. It is each individual's views, and whoever their candidate was, whoever they voted for, that's what makes America great.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. And you know, we never know where our world is going, but you know, I just pray for our nation all the time, and I hope that we can all come together as a nation and as people, first and foremost, and just start really coming back. I know the COVID thing was a real tough time for a lot of us, and I'm so glad that at least in the state of Florida right now, our mandates are a little bit more flexible.
Yes, we're working.
Yes, and you know, otherwise we couldn't be here today at, where are we at?
The world-famous Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, right across from Tropicana Field.
Right across from Tropicana Field. Speaking of Tropicana Field, we're going to be talking a little bit later about the MLB lockout. Any thoughts on that?
I hope it doesn't happen. That's my best thoughts on that. Especially in today's time with the COVID and everything, people, they need their baseball.
We need our baseball, and I'm really praying that our team can stay here. You know, Tropicana Field has been such an icon here in our community here in St. Petersburg, and I really hope that we can keep Major League Baseball here. It's hard to think that they might go to Tampa, and we'll probably have Michael talk a little bit about that as well. He's got his Respect Tampa Bay shirt on right now. I love it.
Well, I hope they stay here too. Once again, I think they've gotten involved in more political nonsense than really needs to. They need to keep the politics out of baseball.
Yeah.
And let's play ball.
Well, you know, I know with my husband being a professional football player and how the collective bargaining agreements can really escalate into things, and apparently this is what this is all about, because it's been 5 years and since the collective bargaining agreement in 2016, so it'll be kind of interesting to see where that goes. And later on in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about, maybe help our audience understand what a lockout is and how it works. And because a lot of people don't understand what collective bargaining agreements are and how they work and how a lockout can. I mean, I really did. I watched Mr. Cash with the locks on the gates, and players aren't allowed. Coaches aren't allowed. Nobody's allowed. It's a complete what they call a lockout.
Yep. Literally.
Literally.
Randy, we might have one of those master keys around here somewhere, though. We'll go pick the lock.
We can go pick the lock, yeah. I needed one of those a couple of years ago when I locked myself out of my house in the middle of the night letting my dog out in my skivvies.
You know, no wonder the neighbors were talking.
My neighbors were talking. I had to go to the president of the town home association and knock on their door, and his wife is coming down looking at me like,
what are you doing here?
What the heck?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, after that you get a key, a hidden key somewhere, right? So tell me a little bit about your family. You said you got a brother.
I have an older brother. He's retired from Tampa Fire Department. He was a lieutenant for Tampa Fire Department.
Oh, awesome.
My dad, who is 93 and healthier than me still.
Wow.
Lives over in Sun City Center with his new wife, Ann.
Has he been married long, or is this his longevity?
Well, my mother, who passed away.
God rest her soul.
They were married forever. And once she passed away, it was funny because my dad actually came to me and asked me for permission to get married again. I told him, Dad, enjoy your life.
And, aww.
But he's an avid golfer. And I said, he's almost 94 now. And
wow.
He gets out and golfs almost every day. And
but you know, that's
still
the beauty,
beats me.
That's the beauty of golf, too. I mean, you can do it at any age. It really doesn't matter. It's like pickleball, too, but a little bit more active there. But I think, you know, as long as we stay active and eat right, you know, praise God, we can hopefully keep us on this earth a little bit longer.
Beautiful.
Well, right now you are listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and we are now part of the Huvi, and I'm going to spell it H-U-V-I, headquartered in Orlando. What is Huvi? Huvi is Finish for Fun, and Huvi delivers fun through their video streaming platform where sports meet lifestyles, and you can tune in to my Huvi, myhuvi.com, as all of our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection broadcast will be streamed on our own video channel. I'm so excited because we've got 10 different sports and podcasts scheduled to launch in the next few months. From where?
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, downtown St. Petersburg.
Absolutely. 13th and Central Avenue. If you've never been down here, you've got to come down. And I want to just let you know a little bit more about what Huvi's also providing, because they're providing opportunities. If you would like to showcase your business with an extremely attractive price point and free streaming video audience combined with a 3-county radio and social media website presence, then you need to check out Huvi.com, H-U-V-I. Because we are going to be doing some recordings directly upstairs at our new Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection studio.
I was up there this morning. It's really neat.
It is, and it's just, you know, it's a work in progress right now, so we're hoping to have it all in place in the next couple of months. You can stay tuned for more exciting updates. We'll give you those on myhuvi.com and the St. Pete Sports Connection TV channel, which is the sportsconnection.tv channel on Huvi.tv. For championship caliber content, you can provide your business competitive, trackable results from your sponsorship opportunities with that. So I'm very excited that we're coming on board with Huvi. It was interesting. I met Roger Warren through my group with the Florida Rising Stars and Florida Sports Hall of Fame. And they had Varsity Sports Network, and then they have come in and started Huvi. So, Mike,
very
I
cool.
want to thank you. And Mac, Mike's going to be coming up.
Yep.
Mac, Thank you so much.
I'm going
right
to get back to the turntables.
Get and, back to the turntables and then come back and visit if you can.
Great. Thanks, Brandy.
All right. As always, love and hugs.
Have a great Champa Bay Day.
Champa Bay Day. All right. So, Michael has a ribbon. Michael Lortz. Michael is an author and writer, local here out of Tampa. And
there we go.
Good to have you on the show today, Michael.
Thanks, Brandy. I appreciate it.
So, tell me a little bit more about Michael. And you've written a couple of books. Tell me little bit about those. And how did you get started as a writer?
Oh, my goodness. How long have I been writing? I graduated. I'm a, like Cameron, who may or, you know, may be a guest here today. I'm a graduate of Florida State as well. So when he was on a guest, he was a guest on a show here with Mike a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. He and I were like, yeah, we were at Florida State at the same time. You know, he was playing football. I was, you know,
but you were there at the same time. So you're the same age range.
I was in grad school when he was playing football.
Okay.
So he was undergrad and I was in grad school.
Okay.
So
awesome.
I'm a little bit older than him, by a few years. But the name sounded familiar. It was funny. He came up. I was like, I know your name from somewhere. He's like, I went to Florida State. I was like, all the bells went off, you know. So it was cool. It was cool. He and I caught up over Florida State. So I've been writing, I guess, professionally, if you will, so paid for my work, since writing for the college newspaper at Florida State. So for probably about 20 years now, I've done a lot of freelance stuff. It's my part-time hobby. You know, I have a 9-to-5. I work as a government contractor, DOD work. But writing has always been that bug that I can never get away from.
Yeah.
And so it was just me blogging about sporting events and concerts I go to, you know, concert reviews, you know, stuff like that, and things around town and restaurants. And then I started for, I wrote for the Tampa Bay Times for a little bit, just music, go to a concert, they pay you, you write a concert review, it gets posted on the website. Cool. Your concert costs are covered, and you get a byline and a little exposure in the newspaper.
And you have fun at the concert.
Exactly. It's win-win for everybody involved.
Absolutely.
So I did that for a little while, and I was still doing some sports. I did some writing about minor league baseball, which there's not very many people that write about minor league baseball here in Tampa Bay. So it was an easy niche for me to just kind of build a portfolio. And that's kind of when the idea of this book kind of came about, and I'll get to that in a moment. But since then, I've written for bigger and bigger sports blogs. And, you know, you kind of pitch an idea to somebody a little bit bigger. And you give them your bylines and what you've done at the smaller media venues or outlets. And then you just, oh, okay, we'd love to have you. So, and it just keeps, it snowballs from there. It does.
It does.
Just builds, you know.
It does. It definitely builds and snowballs. That's pretty much, I just started journaling as a kid. And then just one thing into the next, and then you go back and you start reading some of your journals, and you went, well, that's not too bad.
No, it's really not,
it's not too bad.
Or you find an idea that maybe you couldn't really develop, maybe you weren't good enough, or you didn't have the resources or the time to develop years ago, and you're like, let me bring that one back, and let me redo that one a little bit better for a bigger audience, and maybe with better research, and maybe better expertise, or maybe... You know, whatever else you have at your fingertips at that point in your career, you can always, you know, readjust or revisit some of the stuff. I like to think, I guess Taylor Swift just did that with some of her catalog.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And
that's
the biggest artist in the world.
Yeah,
if she can go back and redo some of her previous work because it wasn't to her level, what's preventing me from doing
it? It's the same thing. When I first was starting to think about writing a book, I had done an audio CD workbook and book called The Stepping Stones of Life, and that was back in 2005. And I'd been trying to, my husband had been a former player with Buffalo, Tampa, and the Raiders, and had become disabled from football, unfortunately. And we had gone through a lot of ups and downs in our family life and so forth. And I had been trying to get him to write The Flip Side of Glory, which one of the writers at Modesto Bee in California actually wrote an article, and he called it The Flip Side of Glory. And I said to Jeff, I said, you know what? If we're able to write a book, that's what we're going to call it, The Flip Side of Glory, because that's how our life has gone in a roller coaster ride trying to keep our faith going. But when that happened, it took me several years to really put it all together because he just couldn't emotionally write it. And then I kind of said, all right, it's do or die now. We're going to do it.
Right. You know? Yeah, and this book, Curveball at the Crossroads, which is my debut fiction novel. You know, I've done nonfiction for, you know, websites, stuff like that. But this is my first foray into fiction. It's an eight-year thing. I wrote it in 2012, almost 10 years. I wrote it in about 2012-13. It was just a Word document sitting on my desktop. It's this big, rough ball of clay.
Right.
And I kept revisiting it, kind of working different scenes. Sent it to a buddy of mine named Jay Busby. He's a writer out of Atlanta. He writes for Yahoo Sports. And he's written some fiction books on the side as well. I was like, Jay, what do you think? And he's like, here's five different points of view that I have, you know, about this character or this scene. Or, you know, maybe add a voice here or a voice there, you know, something like that. And I ran with about three of them. I was like, two of them weren't the best of fits. But I was like, there were three really strong ones, and I ran with that. So I basically took the book from page one to whatever and just added, embellished and added more dialogue and added this and added that, perspectives. And I was like, I'm good. Like, and then the pandemic hit, and sports stopped.
Right.
And nobody knew how long sports were going to stop. I said, I have a sports story sitting on my desktop on my computer.
Wow.
Let's finish this thing and get it out there to sports fans who are hungry for sports. I went to a publisher, and I'm struggling with how to say this because there's still some things we have to resolve with the old publisher.
Right.
So, but I wasn't happy as happy at the product as I probably could be.
Yeah.
And I know, again, I like to mention Taylor Swift and her redoing her own records and other music artists, you know, they'll re-release stuff that, you know, was maybe a demo back in the day or something. And so that's what I feel like. I feel like my first printing was basically my demo. And I got it out there. I got some really great reviews. I was voted runner-up in Book of the Year for In Creative Loafing, Tampa's Best of the
Bay. I saw that, yes.
So, and the person who won that was Tim Dorsey. Tim Dorsey has about 30 books out.
Yep.
He's a very prominent Florida-themed writer. So for me to be runner-up, I'm okay with that. You know, that just Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of like Carl Hyacin, Tim Dorsey. You know, there's some writers, even Ben Montgomery locally here in Tampa Bay, there's some writers that I know I'm not as good as or I'm not as experienced with, and they have a bigger name. And, you know, I met Ben a few months ago. He did a book signing, and I gave him one of my books, and he wrote a blurb for one of my books or for this book right here. And so I was like, I've got a co-sign by one of these really accomplished Florida writers. So, you know, I thanked him so much. I was like, thank you so much, because now people who know his name on the back of my book are going to say, wow, if he likes it, I'm going to like this.
You're going to like it.
And the goal is to pay that forward.
Exactly.
You know, years from now, if I can do the same to another upcoming writer, it's that fraternity or so of writers.
It is, and we're going to talk more about that. Be sure right now to start your day with Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We are now doing a two-minute sports update at 8 a.m. That's 8 a.m. in the beautiful drive time every day on Sunshine 96.7 FM. So start your day with a recap of the day before and the preview of the current day. That's a daily Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection two-minute update at 8 a.m. on Sunshine 96.7 FM and our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network affiliates. So you were talking about how the way that we end up being creative in writing and the things that happen, and then one thing will just snowball into the next. I know when I was writing The Flip Side of Glory, and I mentioned it took me several years, and I had met a lady, she's a well-known romance novelist. I call her Joan Wilder. Her name is Joan Johnston, and she ended up buying my house. And as I was showing her through the house, as she knocked on the door, I said, oh, what do you do? She said, oh, well, I don't tell people, you know, I'm a writer. I said, what do you write? She said, I write romance novels. And I had never written or actually never read a romance novel until after I met Joan. But my point was, she's in 34 languages. She's with, you know, now she's with Harlequin. She's been with all the majors. And she would come to visit. from Denver and stay with me. And she was in the middle of editing. Her agent had sent her stuff to age to write and to redo. And if I had not seen Joan, I probably never would have finished the book.
Oh, wow.
Because I would come in and I'd hear her downstairs at 1 in the morning. Son of a blah, 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 blah. Mother, that she wants me to redo this and this and this and this. And that means I got to rewrite 4 chapters and blah, blah, blah,
oh,
blah,
wow.
blah. And I'm thinking, you've been doing this for 22 years. You're in 34 languages and you're having these kind of problems. And I'm like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I had her write the foreword to my book. Praise God for that. Because she's a New York Times bestseller. But,
oh, wow.
I was never so enthralled, and she gave me so much encouragement from watching her, realizing that, okay, you're going to have those bumps and grinds. You're going to have those stops. You're going to have those moments where you can't write anymore. You can't do anything. But then what happens? Then you go back and you take a breath and you get those aha moments.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And for me, you know, since I've published this book, a lot of people have asked me, said, well, I have a book idea. I have an idea. And the first thing I tell them, if it's fiction, where's your character beginning and where's your character going to end?
Yeah.
What is that conflict and the resolution? Because if you don't have just that, if you're like, oh, my life would make a great story and there's no conflict, there's nothing to really draw readers in.
Right.
Whether it's a unique story, which I'm sure you guys have from the pro sports perspective, or just something different. Because if it's like, oh, I go to work every day, like that's not, there's no obstacle that's really going to draw in a reader.
Right.
And it can be that in fiction, obviously, you can use your imagination more in a conflict. I can have space aliens or whatever.
Right.
But you need that conflict and you need to, like, the resolution. The resolution is vitally important, especially in fiction, because people don't just, okay, there was a conflict with a bad guy and well that's it, you know, there needs to be that resolution.
Yeah. And you need, you know, that you need the beginning, the middle and the end.
Yes.
And you need all that in place, and then you know where you're going to go in the middle and,
right.
and in between that beginning and the middle and then the middle and the end. It definitely takes it to that place, but you've got to have that in place first in your kind of your outline and your summary.
Sure.
So you really know where you're going to go, and you're going to change that a million times anyway.
Yep. I had an outline. I had written an outline on one piece of paper. Like, it was character starts in this predicament, or boom, 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 and then down to the end. And where do I want the character to be at the end? On one piece of paper.
So tell me a little bit about your latest book, your second edition.
Okay.
And tell me a little bit about the storyline.
So Curveball at the Crossroads is about a young pitcher. It's a baseball book, obviously,
yep.
by the title. It's about a young pitcher who, in his final game in high school, he was kind of a cocky, arrogant star in high school. You know, he knew he was off to bigger and better things, but he's small town Mississippi, and baseball was the only thing he had, you know, to get out of small town Mississippi. But he was good, and he knew it, and the scouts were at his games and everything.
Yeah.
In his final game, in the sixth inning of his final game, his arm just shatters, and it's a career-ending injury.
Wow.
And so for a high school student in small town Mississippi, his dreams are gone. And he kind of gets into trouble. He, you know, in the first few chapters, he kind of gets in trouble with the law and things like that. And he just kind of gives up and he just wanders. And he ends up at the crossroads. And it's the old dirt highway crossroads. It's very
cliche.
Which way
am I going to go?
Yep. And the devil taps him on the shoulder at night and is like, hey, I can, if you give me your soul, your arm will be bigger and better and stronger and faster than you've ever thrown in your life. And so he sells his soul to the devil for a chance to get back into baseball. And at 21 years old, or 20 years, you know, that's not a decision that a lot of people would not make. Here's all this fame. And
exactly.
You know, what am I going to do with the soul? Because, you know, he was wayward, he was lost, and he made a deal with the devil. So he works his way up through the pros, and the devil shows up every once in a while. He's like, hey, hi, I'm still here. Remember our deal.
Oh, wow.
And he finally makes it to the majors. He's an all-star and everything like that, and the devil comes back, and then that's the conflict. So,
okay.
Definitely
all
no
right.
spoilers.
Good. It sounds like something I'm going to have to pick up and read.
Please do. Yes.
Now I want to know what the ending is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got some really great reviews. As I said, Ben Montgomery reviewed it. Gave me a great review. Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports. A couple other folks locally, a lot of podcasters I was sending it to. And I've sent out, out of the first edition printing, which was about 250, I think I sent out about 60.
Are you, where are you located? Are you on Amazon and Kindle? And
yep.
I know you're on Goodreads with me.
Yep. So yeah. That's the big thing between the first edition and second edition. The first edition was very limited. And yeah. People either had to go through me or the publisher. And I was like, it needs to be everywhere. So with the second edition, I went through Ingram Spark, which is a self-publishing platform, and they distribute the book. So they'll print it and distribute it.
Right.
And next thing I knew, it was on Amazon. I didn't have to send it to Amazon. Barnes & Noble, Walmart.com. You can go to Walmart.com and order my book, which is super cool. I was like, wow.
Right.
Everywhere. Local bookstores. Tombalo Books, which is right down here in South St. Pete. Book and Bottle is in South St. Pete. You can go to either one of those local bookstores and get it. Any local bookstore that has a search bar that says find book,
right,
they can order it.
Right. Mine the same way. So I'm all over, and I'm on Kindle and Nook and Amazon. I did, after my publisher decided to retire, I ended up going over. She put me over in touch with CreateSpace, and so I'm okay on CreateSpace now, which is great because it's on-demand printing, so I don't have to have. I just ordered some more books for some autograph signings. But I love that aspect of it, because back in the old days, we're buying, you know, you've got all these books that are printed, and yep. And the one thing that and I'm sure you had to run into this too, when I was first wanting to write The Flip Side of Glory, which is about a story about love, acceptance, and hope, and my husband being a former NFL football player and being disabled at 30 years old, the things that we went through as a family. And it's faith-based, but in going through all of those things, it was something that took me to the next level of trying to decide. I had Wiley and a couple other publishers want to pick me up, but I wanted my story out now.
Right.
And that was the conflict that I had. And so I had another girlfriend here with my writers group here, my Florida Writers Association, and she said, hey, I have Serena Press. I'll publish it for you. So that's what we ended up doing, so I could get it out a lot quicker, because I wouldn't have the book out for a year and a half. And at that time, all the disability, all the chronic traumatic encephalopathy things that my husband did pass away of at stage 3 CTE was all coming out. And my book needed timing.
Right.
Yeah. And just like yours, when you're saying, hey, you know, COVID hit,
yep,
there's no sports, this is the perfect time to come back and make it work.
Yeah, 100%. And that was kind of a it's been a learning experience, because I went through the small publisher and he rushed out a product. And I wasn't too happy with the product.
My first book was rushed too from another friend of mine, and I still can't get it off of Amazon to this day because they had gone to all the other distributors.
Yep. Yeah, you know, it's tough to get a book off of Amazon because once your book is sold, somebody could easily resell that book and use Amazon as a resale market. And so I said, all right, the first printing, it's going to exist. And there's only about 250 of them. So cool. If this second edition blows up and it's on Oprah,
right,
and it's on New York Times bestseller, then cool. If you have one of the first editions, it's probably going to grow in value.
Exactly.
So let me give that as a gift to my loyal, to the first people who bought that. You bought it for X amount of money. It's going to be hopefully more because I'm hustling this second version out.
Exactly.
On so many places and
exactly,
so many platforms.
Exactly. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about, with you being a baseball fanatic.
Sure.
I want to walk you or have some thoughts that, from you about the lockout.
Okay. So owners are always to blame. Players are not to blame. Players are just labor. Let's start with that. I saw an interesting.
I'm gonna say to the audience right now who don't know what a lockout is.
Okay.
All right. The last Major League Baseball and MLB Players Association was negotiated back in 2016. So the collective bargaining agreement has come out now, and what's happening is the free agency arbitrage. All of those things are addressed. With players, with free agency, with arbitration, with all the extra new benefits that a lot of the players want, which, you know, obviously players always want more money. What did you think about Franco?
So Wander Franco, I mean, he's a generational talent and hopefully stays healthy and is a Hall of Fame talent, you know, and in the lines of a lot of the other superstars that we're seeing come up in baseball, Fernando Tatis Jr. and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And all these other superstars. And so the goal of some of these teams is just lock these people in for 10, 15 years, and they'll play 75% or whatever of their
right.
career. For one team, you've got them, and you never have to worry about them again. You know, and their contracts are award benefits. You know, if he finishes in the top five in MVP, if he finishes MVP, he gets X more millions more. And the goal is to build a franchise along with these superstar generational talents.
Yes, which right now, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be amazing.
Yes.
For $183 million, he should be.
He should be, but and the reason I said straight off the when you asked is that the owners are always to blame because billionaires own baseball teams.
Yes.
You know, baseball teams are not mom-and-pop shops.
Right. So, it's like the NFL franchise owners.
Yes. Yeah, so franchises, all sports franchises, are predominantly owned by billionaires. And billionaires don't like to pay people. Billionaires like to make money.
Right.
Because that's what they've done. They're very good at it. And I saw a stat that said only about 2% of Major League Baseball players make over $20 million. Now, $20 million is a lot of money to the average fan.
Yes.
But only 2%. Most Major League Baseball players, the average Major League salary is $4 million, which, again, for the average fan, that's a lot of money. But your superstars have this top tier of pay. And then your average salary hasn't increased in over 6 years.
Right.
It's been about $4 to $4.5 million for 6 years. Meanwhile, billionaires are getting richer. TV contracts are doubling. Major League Baseball's online revenue is soaring. So the players are like, hey, our average salaries aren't going up. And you've got teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Tampa Bay Rays to a point, who shuttle people up and down from the minor leagues when they're not playing them. So when they go down to the minor leagues, the minor league average pay is far lower.
Much lower. So with that thought, let's talk about tanking.
Yes. Tanking's also an issue. You got teams like the Rays don't do it as much. So
right.
Credit to the Rays for keeping a good product on the field. That's going to be
competitive. I love Joe Maddon and what he used to do and bringing up some of those players, you know, and
yep.
He would just make a quick decision. All right, get so-and-so up. Get so-and-so. Let's bring him up right now. I mean,
yep.
And that's how I think he was so successful, too.
So Kevin Cash has done pretty much the same thing.
He has.
He's been an expert managing that roster. And the Rays used, I think, over 50 pitchers last year, which is insane. I mean, they brought another pitcher up every week. And by doing that, you know, you're constant that roster churn, and they stay competitive, though.
Yeah.
The Rays stay competitive because they're using the analytics, and they're using, you know, when to use this guy, when to use that guy. That's
right.
A whole other conversation.
Right.
But they're staying competitive. But then you got a lot of other teams. You know, you got teams that just willfully just tank their roster, trade their stars, don't bother bringing up good talent, don't bother drafting good talent. So the money that they make from fans and from cable goes straight into the owners' pockets.
Yeah.
And the owners... So, say an owner has a billionaire team, and he's taking 25% of the profits from the team. Well, a team like the Rays, he might only be taking 10%. You know, and so if the owner's taking more money and not putting the money back into the, I mean, it's his business. I get it. You know,
right.
Who is Major League Baseball to tell an owner, hey, put more money into the team? But it hurts the overall product.
Right.
It hurts the overall reputation of Major League Baseball when teams are not competitive. When you lose 100 games a season for more than one or two seasons, your organization is failing.
Well, and people forget how many games these baseball players, basketball players play. You know, my husband was playing, you know, 17 weeks, but then a lot of the off season as well, you know, staying in shape for those 17 weeks and trying to keep from injuries. But these guys, I got to hand it to them because, baseball isn't as strenuous, but still, you got to have your game on. You
yep.
got to be in you got to be in shape. Basketball players, these guys, I mean, they just live and breathe it.
Yep, they're athletes 24/7, 365.
Yeah.
And you know, I follow some of them on Instagram, and they're in the gym. You know, they're in the gym. They got their personal gyms or whatever it is. They got their trainers. They get, you know, they're showing their diets and everything like that. They are athletes to play at that level of professional sports. You need to focus your entire year on it. And why not be compensated as such? if you were one of the top 400 baseball players in the world,
right,
be compensated as such, especially from the billionaire who's making billions off of your, you know, right, your abilities. So why has the average salary not increased in 6 years?
Right.
And so the players are like, hey, can we get some more? And the owners are like, no, and we're locking the doors on you. And there's no baseball. And so the players are kind of like, hey, we want some more money, or we want to be free agents faster, or we want to whatever the case is,
right,
in our careers.
Do you think we'll be ready by hopefully it won't happen, but if it does, do you think we will be ready for, I mean, the doors are already locked, so
right,
at 12:01 on Wednesday. But do you think it's going to push our spring training and everything back? I think it'll be underway way before then, personally.
Yeah, because February 15th is when pitchers and catchers start reporting to spring
right
training, middle of February-ish. I don't think we're going to have a problem. I think it gets resolved in January. I think it goes through the holidays because nobody wants to meet during the holidays.
Right.
But I think that I think it gets resolved in January. Now, where that's going to hurt teams is season tickets.
Yeah.
Because teams, you know, ticket sales, and people are going to be like, well, you're going to have a season. And the ticket sales folks are going to be like, well, we hope so, so please buy season tickets. For a team like the Rays, it's going to really hurt because, you know, the Rays' long-term stability is questionable here in Tampa Bay anyway.
Right.
So, and that's another thing that the players' union wants to say, hey, if you're going to start moving teams around, you're going to start doing stuff like that, what's in it for us?
Right, exactly.
And the players' union is the strongest union in sports.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by the Exogen Temporal Scanner.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. $1 million, that's the combined bond the judge has set for James and Jennifer Crumbly, the parents of the accused Michigan school shooter. They were in court this morning. CBS's Michael George on their arrest for involuntary manslaughter charges.
The manhunt ended around 2 a.m. this morning when a Detroit business owner called 911 saying he saw their car and a woman in his parking lot. Police arrived, and after a search, they arrested the couple. Now, their attorney told authorities they plan to turn themselves in, but the U.S. Marshals consider them fugitives. Prosecutors say their actions directly contributed to that deadly school shooting.
15-year-old Ethan is being charged as an adult. More cases of the Omicron COVID variant have been reported in the San Francisco Bay Area. KPIX-TV's Dalin with details.
A joyous occasion turned into a super spreader event. Health officials say the wedding took place in Wisconsin last Saturday. 12 East Bay residents came back infected, 5 of them with the Omicron variant. One of them had returned from international travel before attending the wedding. Health officials report one is a Berkeley resident and 11 live in Alameda County. All of them vaccinated. Most of them got the booster, and none of them hospitalized.
The House committee investigating the January 6 attack on the Capitol postponed today's scheduled deposition.
Former Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark was scheduled to appear before the committee. Instead, his lawyer said he would not attend due to what he called a medical condition that precludes his participation. Clark had aligned himself with former President Trump in efforts to overturn the results of the presidential election. He was first deposed in November, but declined to answer any questions, so this second appearance was designed to give him another chance. Now he'll get a third chance to do so on December 16th, and should he fail to do so, the committee is likely to send contempt charges to the full House for a vote. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
There are still many Afghans trying to get out of their country. CBS News correspondent Imtiaz Tayyab is in Kabul.
Sami, not his real name. He was a translator for the U.S. military in the southern city of Kandahar, the birthplace of the Taliban. Since the group seized control of the country in August, he and his young family have been hiding in Kabul, waiting for what's known as a special immigrant visa to the U.S.
The U.S. government has said they're trying to speed up this application process. Has it been happening for you?
No, it's not.
You've been hiding in a rented apartment here in Kabul now for 3 months. How long can you survive like this?
I can't survive.
The U.S. pulled troops out in August. This is CBS News.
If you're checking for fever, the leading sign of COVID-19, beware of dangerously inaccurate non-contact thermometers. Instead, learn about Exogen at Exogen.com.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Remember those great songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, then don't miss JT's Oldies But Goodies. Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. JT will be playing the greatest hits as well as the forgotten oldies. These records are sure to bring back memories, so tune in and reminisce with JT's Oldies But Goodies, playing songs from three great decades. Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
Hey guys, this is Audra Christian over at Tan Talk Radio. I'm inviting you to listen to my new show, The Audra Christian Show and the Real State of Real Estate. We plan on focusing on everything that affects your home in the Tampa Bay area. I love being a realtor, would love to guide you into buying your next house or selling your next house. Come listen to everything that affects real estate in the Tampa Bay area, Tan Talk Radio, every Tuesday, 4 p.m., 1340 a.m.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varsho.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The Republic of Pinellas, every Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock on WTAN, Tan Talk Network, 1340 AM, 106.1 FM. Whether our topic is Donald Trump and the future of the greatest president of the past century, in my humble opinion, whether it's education, whether it is term limits, you'll hear about it here on the Republic of Pinellas on Tan Talk Network.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's so interesting. And you're over in Tampa.
I am.
And day job government contractor.
Government contractor, yeah. I do travel quite a bit. In the last year, I've been to Korea for a little bit. My job just sent me to Hawaii for a week, which is...
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you. Yeah, Hawaii is not bad.
It's not. Good afternoon and welcome to our Tan Talk family of affiliates. You are listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network live. We are live from Ferg Sparks Bar and Grill down here in beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. We've got some beautiful weather here today. We are located, if you've never been to Ferg's, at 13th Street and Central Avenue. We have some things that we are doing here today. Of course, it's College Game Day, and I'm just looking over because I'm getting ready in a few minutes to have my buddy Randy Grimes come on, and he's a former Baylor standout and current and former NFL player that played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But it looks like Baylor right now is up 14-3 with Oklahoma State, and I'm seeing Kent State and North Illinois is up by 17 to zip, and all the other Baylor game going on. But we'd already given you our college lineup, and I want to talk a little bit about one of our buds called Super Squares. Super Squares. If you haven't seen or heard about Super Squares, you can go on and get an app either on on Google Play if you're an iPhone or a Droid. And I have to tell you, it is the world's first football game show that that you put in the game. So it puts you right into the game, and you can get the free, and I keep reiterating, free Super Squares app from the Apple and Google Play stores. Register once and 10 pick the NFL games you plan on watching. Playing is as easy as 3-2-1 kickoff. Every Monday night, they give away some amazing gifts, including their Monday night football games where they're giving away paying off your mortgage for a year or two. So they have some questions that they ask about the brands that are in the app, and you get your first Super Square. You can match to your Super Square every quarter, so you're going to be playing this every quarter to earn more points and then be in the top 50 on Sunday. I have just gotten on to my Super Squares app a few days ago, and I'm looking for some other friends of mine to come on board, because you can do a group thing and then you can all win. There's over 2 million up for grabs every weekend. It's the largest prize pool of any free play app or even TV game show in America. That's right, it's free. F-R-E-E. I keep reiterating, it's free, because the brands that fund the massive prizes appreciate your attention while playing. So Super Squares pays millions, but all you pay is attention. You just pay attention to the to some of the commercials that are on there. All of their sponsors is kind of like The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal. All of their prizes are sponsored by other sponsors, so there's no charge to you. And that is all about Super Squares. Also, reminder that we're doing the Ferg's 2-Minute Sports Update. And I just gave you that of what I can see right now with Baylor and Oklahoma State. And I'm getting ready to bring on my buddy Randy Grimes. And Randy, we're going to be bringing you on here, buddy. Randy and I go way back. Randy played for the Tampa Bay Bucks for 9 years, and Randy's got some exciting things that are happening here in the Tampa Bay area. He's actually become one of my neighbors, and we still haven't gotten together, though. How many months ago did you move there?
Since May.
Are we up and running?
Yeah, we are.
All right, good. Since May. And how is your beautiful wife Lydia?
She's doing great. Thank you very much for asking.
Tell me a little bit about some of the things that you're doing. I know you're doing some really exciting things right now in some of the things that you are doing with your White Sands with
right.
your athletes in recovery.
Uh-huh.
You've got a White Sands Christmas party coming up. I think there was a book in Toll here that we want to talk about.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. We've got a lot going on right now. And let's start with athletes in recovery. You know, I've talked to Mike before about that. And what that was is what it is 12 years ago when I came into treatment for addiction for opioids. I got addicted while I played with the Bucks, and September 22nd of 2009 is when I finally put my hand up and asked for help. But when I came into treatment, there was nothing out there for former players, no resources available for former NFL players. So, you know, I wanted to make everything that I'd been through and all the hurt and devastation that I'd caused so many, I wanted to make that mean something, you know?
Yeah.
And, so I started Athletes in Recovery. It serves as a bridge between former players that are out there that were doing the same thing I was doing, you know, treating career-ending injuries with opioids.
And I can totally understand that because my husband also, former player Jeff Winans, also ended up with an opioid addiction as well. And, you know, we've talked about it before in your program that you have, Athletes in Recovery. Let's talk a little bit about how you started that from your own addiction.
From my own addiction, that's right. And like I said, I wanted to have a bridge out there. I wanted guys, you know, either for, they weren't raising their hands and asking for help, and usually it was because of pride, ego, guilt, and shame, but also because there was no resources available. So once I started sharing my story, I started working with the Player Care Foundation. These guys started coming out of the woodwork, and we were able to help hundreds and hundreds of guys over the last 12 years. And I'm really proud of that. I'm proud of the work that the Player Care Foundation does at the NFL, and the work that we do at White Sands with these athletes.
Exactly. And how did you end up coming up to White Sands? Because when we first we're chatting, you were back over in Palm Beach area with Athletes in Recovery over there. And how is that combining Athletes in Recovery with White Sands programs?
Right. And it was a great fit for White Sands. You know, they're very sports-minded over there. They talk to the athletes. They're very trauma-based as far as their therapists. And, you know, it was just a perfect fit because a lot of the guys that I deal with, yeah, they have substance abuse issues and there's underlying mental health issues, but there's also a lot of transitional trauma. Because when you take a uniform away from, I know for me, you know, you take my uniform away from me, you take my playbook away from me, you take that itinerary away from me, then I struggle to know who I am. And it wasn't until treatment in 2009, you know, while I was in rehab, that I finally grieved the death of Randy Grimes, you know, the football player. And I finally let that go. So, you know, to have therapists that are trained in that, and it's not just athletes, you know, it's first responders, it's veterans.
It is. It's a lot of our, just not, like you said, not athletes. That's a big part of it, but our first responders and police and firemen, our military right now are going through a lot as well. I understand as a spousal on the other side of also watching your man feel like he has no identity because literally your identity has been stolen and given to somebody else overnight. And when I started working with families and players, it was the family unit that really needed to understand all of that as well, while you, the player, went into your man cave and had time to grieve. And we weren't giving that to the players. We weren't giving them that time. Everybody was so, well, what are we going to do now? How are we going to pay the mortgage? What are we going to do next? And the next thing you know, you're trying to do everything you can. Well, the easiest way to do it is to stay on the opioids.
Americans, we don't transition well, period. And the first thing that we do is either self-medicate or doctors fill a prescription in it. You know, that's just the way that we are. And it's not right. It's not the way to do things. But you're right. Families are not educated in this, and that's something else that Athletes in Recovery tries to do. We try to work with the families, educate them, let them know what's going on, how to handle it, how to draw boundaries. You know, boundaries are so important. Because we as addicts and alcoholics, one thing we always understand is consequences.
But when you're talking about boundaries, as a former professional athlete or as a collegiate athlete or high school athlete, you're already focused on how to have discipline. And so when that discipline is all taken away, it's a free-for-all on what am I going to do next. And I think that's why you guys need so much time to be able to go in and regroup and figure out. But I think what I see a lot of times is that the family unit and other people are pushing you. Well, what are you going to do now? How are you going to do this? What are you going to do now? And you really haven't had any time to deal with the emotional side of what's happened. Now they're pushing you to go find another career to keep making money. And you can't go there yet.
Yeah, and they don't know any better. You know,
they don't know any better.
And it's a natural response. I'm like, okay, so what's next? And you know, I thought I was ready for the end to come, but I remember when put his hand on my shoulder and told me that my services wouldn't be needed anymore. I can remember just having this, wow, this is how it ends? You know, all the blood, sweat, and tears that I've left on football fields all over this country since fourth grade, and that's how it ends with a coach that, my fifth head coach in the pros, telling me that my services wouldn't be needed anymore. And, you know, I struggled over that for a long time.
It is, because most people forget, oh, well, how many years did you play? You played 9, my husband played 7. Oh, well, that's not very long. No, wait a minute. When you start at Pop Warner,
right.
So Jeff played 7 years in the pros, but he played 18 years of football. So it goes back to that identity crisis.
Right, and you identify so much that even your years run in season and off season. You know, it's not 4 seasons. You don't have 4 seasons or months. It's either in season or off season, and that's the way your brain is trained. You know, when's minicamp start? Well, that's spring. And you know that you're going to be playing all the way through Christmas, you know. And that's how your whole family thinks. They're trained to think that way, too.
Exactly. And what do you think about the 17-week game now?
You know what? I think it's an okay concession to give up for the other benefits that they got out of the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
You know, I think they'll get an extra week off, too, so that's good. But, you know, considering everything that they got in the collective bargaining, the salaries that they're making now, you know, just the fact, and I've been talking about this a lot lately, you know, back when me and Jeff played, we played in an era where we beat the hell out of each other all week long.
That was something else I was just going to ask you about, because I remember Jeff even coming back from training camp and just being completely black and blue, because you have to learn how to take pain. And when you're off several months, you've got to regroup on that and refocus it all over again.
Right. And, you know, most of the injuries that I got while I played in the NFL were during practice. And it just blew my mind that mentality of, if you don't practice hard, you're not going to play hard. You know? Whereas now, through all these different upgraded CBAs that they have, you know, they hardly ever put on pads.
I know.
And they have less injuries. They have longer careers.
Exactly. It is a whole different world today, and thank God. I know, you know, we've made a lot of positive changes since I got involved. I mean, I've been involved with football like you have over half our life. So, and being a spouse and a former athlete, not football, but in track and dancing, and I was a horsewoman for a while. But when you start thinking about what am I going to do next, I remember when Jeff first left. He had injuries, which created depression, which created financial difficulties, which created a lot of family interference. So, again, like what we talked about earlier, when you have all those things coming at you, the easiest thing to do is just keep self-medicating.
Right. And it's a lot of stress on the player. And, you know, we as players, we push ourselves and we put pressure on ourselves to probably get back on the field sooner than we should after an injury. But it's the same way with transitioning out of the league. We put pressure on ourselves to find a job or to find a new way to make a living or to reinvent ourselves. And it's just so hard.
So tell me how Athletes in Recovery got started. I know it was through a transitional period, but I know there was a little bit more to the story than that.
Well, I mean, it was, like I said, I wanted to make all this misery that I put everybody through mean something. And I knew that there was no resources out there for former players. So it just kind of developed into what it is now with the help of the Player Care Foundation and the Alumni Association, the Players Association, and all the different groups that work with athletes in recovery, like the Jockeys Guild and the Motorsports Safety Group and the PGA and just so many great organizations. BAT, the Baseball Assistance Team with MLB, NBA. So it just kind of turned into what it, but I want to make it clear that I help everybody.
Exactly. It's not just athletes, right. Hi, ladies. It's not just athletes. And, you know, what you have started and have taken to the next level now, and being able to be involved here with White Sands as well, I just have to applaud and commend you, because being a spouse that lived through so much of it, I know with my husband, it was when he was finally, and you kept thinking he was down and out to the last one, and then it wasn't the last one, and then it was, and then all of a sudden he's re-rescued, and you know, I mean, it just went on and on and on until he had to make that decision that he was ready to make changes, and in the end, you're the only one that can make that decision. It's your choice in the end. You know, I see so many players that have lost everything, and we went through so much as well. But when you make that choice, and then it's even harder to keep that choice going.
Yeah, and for me, it was boundaries and consequences that finally made me put my hand up. You know, it was my daughter saying I couldn't come around my first grandchild. You know, I was losing everything. You know,
yep.
House, car, job, reputation, finances, everything. You know, it was my wife saying she couldn't live with me because, you know, she wasn't going to watch me slowly kill myself. It was health concerns. You know, I was having seizures as a result of withdrawal. So it was all those things that finally, and it's a shame that we had to come to that. I had to put everybody through all that.
It is a shame, and I do have to say to your wife Lydia, we're a sisterhood that will never be broken, and I have so many other sisters. Our former player NFL Wives Association, the different organizations that we have now on Facebook, our NFL Wives group, that we didn't have that until we started one in 2009 with Jane Arnett's group, and we started a little thing on Facebook called The Huddle, and now we've got, I'm so proud of all the women that have come forward and were able to talk about it, because before, it was an unknown, you didn't talk about it because you wanted to make sure that when your husband or boyfriend walked out that front door, that they were well known in the community, and all the things that were going on behind closed doors stayed behind closed doors, because sometimes all your husband had left was that integrity of walking out that front door and not feeling any shame.
And you know, that's the stigma we still battle today. You know, that's why as many of us that want to get out there and speak about our experience, strength, and hope, you know, and we share the message, trying to tear down the stigma that keeps people from putting their hand up and asking for help. And, you know, addiction happens to anybody. It happens to good people.
Absolutely.
But I want people to know that there's hope and there's help out there, and you don't have to live like this way.
So Athletes in Recovery is now, you can... How would we contact you? Do we go through White Sands, or do we contact you direct?
You can go through White Sands, but I also have a website. It's called proathletesinrecovery.org. You can go there. You can go to randygrimesspeaks.com.
We can Google Randy Grimes and just...
And, of course, I'm on Facebook and Twitter, SoberCenter60, Instagram, and all that stuff. But also, hey, I have a Christmas party. It's an open house holiday party, December the 10th, which is next Friday, at Plant City, at the White Sands location. It's in our event center in the back there, and it's 2011 North Wheeler in Plant City.
It's a great facility. I had run into a gentleman last year through some other friends of mine that introduced me. Steve Segal and Joni introduced me to Duke Rumley. And he had an organization called Safer, and we hooked you guys up and
had the
Super Bowl party. And right. I was only able to do Zoom because I actually had been able to be blessed to go to Super Bowls, so I couldn't pass that up. But I saw the videos after.
Well,
it looked,
we had a good time. Miss America was there, and that was a huge event. I'm grateful to Duke for bringing that to us. And also, Ken, before I have to get off, can I talk about the book?
Yes.
Off-Center, the book, is, and what I'm so proud about with this book is that it was a healing process for my family. Everybody in the family, my children, my parents, my brother, sister, friends, everybody had a platform in this book. And it was a huge healing process for everybody to just kind of get that out, you know, to share it and move past it. And whether it sells a copy or not, I could care less now that I've seen what it's done for everybody involved with my addiction.
It doesn't matter if it sells or not, because it will sell. It will be a bestseller, I can tell you right now. But the important part was is that you got all those emotions, all those feelings out, and your family came and surrounded you. And you have a beautiful family. I've met your family and your daughters and at another event that we were doing with Athletes in Recovery. A gorgeous family. And now, are they out of Texas?
Texas, yeah.
Texas,
my daughter and her children live in Houston.
Yep.
Fortunately, he is here with me. And I have a son that lives in Rwanda. He works for a company called Ampersand, which is an electric motorcycle company.
Awesome.
I don't get to see him very often, obviously.
Well, the open house party.
Yes.
So how do people get involved in that? So it's open house?
Yeah,
I mean, literally just...
Just literally show up.
Just literally show up.
And let me know that you're there. I want to meet everybody again. 2011 North Wheeler in Plant City at the White Sands Treatment Center. And come see what we're all about. Come see what... White Sands is a nonprofit's all about, called KO Addiction. We have a boxing ring in the back there. That's
yep.
Where all this is going to be. We're so proud of it, and I'm so proud of what Athletes in Recovery is going to be
able to do. You are listening right now to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, powered by RadioSt.Pete.com on the Tan Talk family of stations. I'm talking right now with my good friend, former standout Baylor, which we haven't talked about yet, and it looks like Baylor's up 21-3, and former NFL player with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and a very well-loved person here in the Tampa Bay area, and we're talking about some of the things that he's doing right now, his organization called Athletes in Recovery. He has founded that after having his own opioid addiction and overcame it, praise God. And now he's working with other families and players, and not just athletes, but anybody who needs help, who is recovering from any kind of opioid addiction. And again, I understand that because I was the wife of a former player who also was experiencing and unfortunately dealing with that after leaving the game. And the transitioning, as we talked about, is really vital when you're leaving
thing.
The game.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. The book, where can we find the book?
Well, it's going to be released Super Bowl week, which is February the 7th, out in Los Angeles. But if you want to pre-order, you can go to my website at proathletesinrecovery.org, and there's a page set up there for pre-order. But I'm really excited about it. It's at final editing right now.
Well, I better get an autographed copy. I better get one. I also want to give a shout out to our alliance with some of our other organizations that we work with: Florida Rising Stars, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, our NFL Alumni Tampa Bay Chapter, which I'm a part of, our Clearwater St. Pete Sports and Events, and the Ted Williams Foundation. Looking forward to expanding our presence with each of these organizations. Also, the Florida Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Class of 2020 to 2021. Hi, Alex. Took place in November, and the inductees were Al Leiter, Roberto Luongo, Dwight Stevenson, Ed Reed, Alonso Mourning, Bill Diaz in Doral, and it took place down in Doral. Also want to give a shout out to our beautiful printer, Rick Herbert, with Ace High Printing. He is our official printer of the St. Pete Tampa Sports Connection Radio on our beautiful St. Pete Sunshine 96.7 FM. If you need a good printer, give Rick a call today at 727-542-3897. 727-542-3897. Also want to give a shout out to Concrete Fusion. Concrete has launched a Florida team here, and they can repair concrete like no other using a new revolutionary two-part solvent-based mix that fuses into concrete that creates a bond stronger than the original. The beauty of this is they don't tear up your parking, your lot, your driveway, or your sidewalk, or create a lengthy downtime. So give them a call. I know the team and the company. Mike knows them from Iowa. Concrete Fusion Florida, concretefusionfl.com. Call 941-587-2724, 941-587-2724, and tell them that Mike sent you from Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I'm on right now again with Baylor standout and former NFL player Randy Grimes.
Sick'em Bears.
Woo! Love it. Love it, love it. And your team right now. Tell me a little bit about your Baylor time there.
Oh, my gosh. Those were the best years of my life, you know, playing for Grant Taft. And, you know, in 79, my freshman year, we won the Peach Bowl. We went out to Atlanta and played in the Peach Bowl. And then the next year in 80, we had a one-loss season. We won the Southwest Conference, played Alabama in the Cotton Bowl, got crushed. But we were the Southwest Conference champions. And that was back before, obviously, it was the Big 12. But those were the greatest days. And I played with such great players, guys that went off and, you know, Mike Singletary, a Hall of Famer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of guys that played, had long careers in the NFL. And best days of my life. I just went back last weekend, watched the Texas Tech game. And
I saw you guys on Facebook.
It was so cool. It was so cool being with guys that I played with. That was 41 years ago. Good gosh.
What?
Yes. 80? Yeah.
God. Oh, my God.
I know it. I know.
God. Wow. So any big plans for December besides your White Sands open party and trying to get this book out?
Just those two. That's enough, you know, and waiting on Santa, of course.
Of course. We got to wait on Santa.
And I'll head back to Texas and be with my family probably sometime the middle of December and spend the holidays out there. But, you know, Christmas in Florida is awesome. I'm a Texas boy, but I love Florida, and I love Christmas in Florida.
I love Christmas in Florida, too. It's nice to get away. When I was in California, in Southern Cal, in Santa Monica, it was nice to go up to Tahoe, go to Colorado, you know, stay in the cold for a week or two,
right,
and then come home.
Right. There's something about a palm tree with Christmas lights on it.
But you know what? We do. I love the St. Pete area. I grew up on St. Pete Beach. My dad read the Thunderbird on Treasure Island after he got out of the Marine Corps, and we moved back from Cali. And then, you know, I had the bug here because St. Petersburg has grown a lot.
Oh, I bet.
Okay. So when we first moved here, it was known as the newlywed or the nearly dead. And at Williams Park downtown, they used to say you couldn't get on a park bench at 5:30 in the morning for all the old fogies. So when I first left and went out of high school, I went right back to Venice and Santa Monica area to try to, you know, come on to what I wanted to do in life, which was acting and dancing and so forth. And it's always nice to come home. We started making a family here. Jeff was funny when he first left football because he's a California boy, and he's like, oh, you're going to bring me back to this hellhole? And I said, honey, just think about this. You won't be suited up in polyester in August
right.
with shoulder pads and helmets.
Right, right.
Sweating.
Well, we used to come down here on our Tuesday day offs. You know, I lived up in North Tampa when I played here.
Yeah.
So all the 80s and early 90s, we would always come down to the Don Cesar and hang out there every Tuesday. That was our spot to come to. And the kids loved it. And I feel like I raised my kids down here in St. Pete because, you know, this is during the season. You didn't have much time with your family, but all those Tuesdays, you know.
All those Tuesdays.
All I spent on St. Pete Beach.
Yep, and I was in Clearwater, living in Clearwater when I met Jeff, and he was he had a house in Hyde Park, and there was a place called Molly Maguire's that some of Jeff's buddies from Buffalo owned this place up there, and the Maguire brothers had moved down here and opened up this place called Molly Maguire's. And so on the days off that he would have, or anytime he could get away, he would be over at Molly McGuire's. And that's how we ended up meeting one of the girls that when I was – I had a short marriage. Jeff had a short marriage for a couple of years, and I had a young gal at the Breakers. I rented an apartment on the water there on the Breakers because I had opened up a boutique at the Clearwater Mall, and that's how we met. Patty goes one night, oh, let's go to this place called Molly McGuire's. And drinking here at that time was 18. And I was like, 18-year-old going into a little Molly, it sounds like a little place of a teeny bopper place. You know, I'm like in my 20s now. I'm real old. And so, yeah, went there. And there was Jeff sitting at the bar, not a soul in there at 8 o'clock at night. And
wow.
The bartenders and two people, and Jeff was sitting there, and she came over and introduced me. And that was the end of that.
The rest is history, huh?
Yeah, we were good buds for about 6 months, but I kind of knew at that time that I had a very strong attraction to him, and that meant I had to stay away because I was, you know, it just not going to jump back into something
right.
else. But
well, moving back over here from West Palm Beach, you know, even though we spent, you know, 10, 11 years out here with our families, it's changed so much,
yeah.
You know. Oh my God, yeah. You know, it's changed a lot, but then again, it hasn't,
right?
You know, and driving up Del Mabry and all the different hot spots that we used to go to back in.
Oh my God, Victoria Station. I'm just trying to think. Victoria Station was after the Bucks games. That was the go-to
right,
place
right.
in the back room.
Yeah. Right, or the new Hooters right there.
Right, exactly.
Well, Hooters was brand new then.
Hooters
you know?
Was brand new then. Thank you, Bob Passwater,
right.
and the Motley crew from Hooters. And still going strong. Well, Randy, I want to thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, thank
today.
You, thank
and,
you for having me.
I'll try to make it out next week on Friday and aggravate you there at the open house.
I hope so. I look forward to seeing you.
I can't wait to get a copy of the new book, and the new book is called
Off Center.
Off Center and Athletes in Recovery.
That's right. And the website is proathletesinrecovery.org. Or randygrimespeaks.com. Get in touch with me there or on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter at SoberCenter60.
Beautiful. And we'll have to get together with Lydia for some Christmas cheer.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
God bless.
Thank you.
Have a blessed one. Michael is going to come back in and help me finish out the rest of the segment. And I just want to give another shout out. If you have any interviews or stories or unique individuals or anything that you think might generate positive energy, we'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. Mike would love to hear from you, from anyone in the community that has stories, events, or individuals that they'd like us to recognize. You know, we go from the peewees to the pros. So we've been dealing with Boca Ciega, my alma mater, and their football team, and now we're going to be dealing with their up-and-coming baseball team and having them coming out and doing some of their games. But St. Pete Sports Connection, you know, just come out. Share a story. Come down and wave us on here live at Ferg's every Saturday from 12 to 2 o'clock. And or just, you know, just log on to stpetesportsconnection.com as we expand our reach into the organization as individuals making a positive impact in St. Pete from the peewees to the preps to the pros. And it was great to see Randy here, and nice to meet Michael. And let's talk a little bit more about what do you think about the future of baseball here?
Wow.
Well, we got a few minutes.
We have only a few minutes?
We only have a few minutes.
Because that's, wow, that is a loaded question. You know, right now, and I've written quite a bit about this. So if you Google my name, Michael Lortz and Tampa Bay Rays, you'll find a lot of my writing about the Rays. And that's what attracted Mike to me. And one of the first things, he's like, I need this guy on here to talk about the Rays and this whole dilemma of Sister City. So the Rays have, as you probably know, the Rays have tossed around the idea of playing half the season in Montreal.
Yeah.
The bottom line with Tropicana Field, and we've all been to Tropicana Field, we've seen games there, everything. It's not the best Major League Baseball stadium.
But it's covered.
It is covered.
Praise God.
That's the one thing that the Rays need is they need a dome. It rains here every day from June to August. We need a retractable dome would be nice. Because
yes.
It is nice in April and May,
when it starts cool down, even in the low 80s, is tolerable to stand outside for a baseball game.
Yeah.
You start getting above 85, 88 degrees, and it starts to get too uncomfortable. And then 90s, forget about it. If you're in the 90s, you know, it's 90 degrees and above at 8 o'clock at night, forget about it. And then, of course, that brings rain and everything. So we do need a retractable dome. Well, the Rays are presenting the sister city idea that they'll go play in Montreal in July, August, and September, and then maybe we'll get some playoff games. The problem with the idea has so many hurdles, and they're trying to sell it. So I like to say that the sister city idea is okay in a business school idea with a bunch of whiteboards and a bunch of students just brainstorming. It does not pass the social reality test. Like, and not socialism, like social media, but it doesn't pass reality as in how fans are really going to interpret it. It does make sense if I were to put it on a whiteboard in a classroom and we were to be like, oh, hey, there's a market over here. We can make money over here and make money over here. If you have real people making real life decisions, it's not going to work. And the Rays have said that fans will get over it. Fans will get over the fact that we're moving for half the season. They'll still show up.
Yeah.
And they'll show up in that short amount of time that we are in Tampa Bay. And I don't agree with that. Because we won't have a pennant race here. We'll have the early games. We won't have... we won't have a pennant race here. Sorry, I was distracted. But, yeah, we won't have pennant races here. We won't have meaningful baseball in the fall. And the Rays are like, well, you can watch it on TV. You watch it on TV all of 2020. And I'm like, that's using a pandemic against us. Like, why are you throwing that in our face? We would have been here. We couldn't because everybody closed. I mean, like, what were we supposed to do? Still smuggle ourselves into the stadium?
Right.
That's an extenuating circumstance. You can't throw that in our face. And the honest truth is, like, If I can only watch the Rays on TV, I'm going to go to a Clearwater Threshers game. I'm going to go to a Tampa Yankees or Tampa Tarpons game. I'm going to some of the minor leagues.
They built a great stadium there.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. I was up there for the Clearwater Jazz Festival, which was kind of interesting because it was the first time we've ever done that in a stadium,
baseball stadium.
But they did an awesome job. And I hadn't been, and I was so impressed.
Yeah, the Threshers have actually draw pretty well for a minor league team in Florida. They're like the most highest drawing team in Florida, like minor league team, more than any of the other ones. They do a great job with their mascot. It was always like one of the best in the business. And they just do a great job with promotions and fireworks and all sorts of fun stuff at the Threshers game. And it's weird, though, because it's a totally different experience. It's not a major league baseball experience. It's a great minor league baseball experience. But they're 20 minutes away from Tropicana Field and the Rays. Like, how much is that kind of hurting the Rays' overall ability to make money?
What do you think about the overall situation where trying to get more of Hillsborough County and Pasco County coming down to do a game? People go, oh, we need to be more centralized.
They do. They do, 100%. They need to be more centralized. I've always said for the Rays to be competitive here in Tampa Bay, and they did for a small market, and we are a small to medium-sized market. We're not New York City. We're not Chicago.
Right.
There needs to be a hub. It needs to be centered amongst the population where people can come in the radius. Tropicana Field is closer to water than it should be. Like, it should be a lot closer. I really like the Gandy Dog Track, which is still in Pinellas County.
There's been talk about, you know, that's been going on for the last couple of years about the talk about maybe moving over there. I know, you know, my buddy Richard Wenning, you know, his whole family had owned that facility, you know, forever.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I think they're still doing, you know, dog racing stopped there. That was banned, but they're still doing poker and things there.
Yep.
You know, if I was the Rays, I'd be talking to Richard Wenning about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess in the latest article I saw, when they actually asked about it, he had said that the Rays just stopped talking to him. Just were like, no, we're focusing on Ybor City. And my one drawback with that location, and that location there at the Gandy Dog Track.
Ybor City to me is too congested.
Ybor City has, no matter where the Rays are, there is a lot of positives and negatives.
But
there's no positives.
The Carillon area is really like a triangle.
Right.
You know, it's like a triangle. But
So I heard that somebody had bought that. Like, so the Rays had talked about that like 2010 or 12 or so.
I think Topgolf is going in there
okay,
now.
Okay, yep. Yeah. And that's what's that's what the big problem with the Rays are taking so long in this. All the prime real estate in Tampa is getting gobbled up.
Yeah.
And right now with Ybor, they're like, well, we can fit a small stadium in there because they know the real estate developers and everything. And they're already having talks with the real estate developers. But the problem with Ybor is, like you said, congestion. They want a small stadium. It's a smaller footprint. Well, the problem with a small footprint is you're never going to get an all-star game. Playoff games are going to sell out if we have playoff games. They're going to go to Montreal to play games as well because they're not going to be able to make as much money.
What do you think about the split situation
that they're horrible.
Talking about?
Like I said, it doesn't pass the reality test.
Yeah.
If I had it in a classroom and we're experimenting, we're throwing ideas up on a whiteboard and I've got students, cool. It's great in a lab. It's
right.
not going to pass reality because they need the Rays. And I talked about this before, how owners are notoriously cheap. Major League Baseball owners are billionaires, and they want to maximize their investment in sports and the entertainment of sports.
Right.
So, and it's how much money are they willing to put into the team to maximize for revenue and everything like that. Stu Sternberg is cheap. Like, that's the bottom line, is he's cheap. And the Rays front office and the folks that are employed by the Tampa Bay Rays are doing the best they can to put out a winning product, to make it a fun environment for the stadium, or for people, fans, and everything like that. And
they are.
They've made a
lot of positive changes. And, I think about Steinbrenner and all of the different – it's always fun to see when spring training starts up because we have so many – teams that come here in our area
yep.
to be able to get an opportunity to go watch that you don't usually get an opportunity to watch.
Well, I will take the flip approach on that. I actually think spring training is bad for the Tampa Bay Rays. Because if 2/3 of the fans that go to spring training are tourists, that means 1/3 of them are locals. And if 1/3 of those fans are locals, they're giving their money to the Toronto Blue Jays, New York Yankees, Pittsburgh Pirates, Phillies, Detroit Tigers and stuff like that. That's local money on baseball that the Rays are not making. And a dollar lost in February is a dollar they can't make back in April and May.
Why do you think they moved their training camp?
Who, the Rays?
Yeah.
The Rays play, yeah, because the Rays used to be at Al Lang Stadium.
Right, and then we were at Azalea area, and then
the Rays moved down
away.
They moved to Port Charlotte.
Right.
And I always thought Port Charlotte was a mistake.
Well, that's where the Rangers used to be at
right.
one time, right?
Yeah. Well, they found a stadium, an unused stadium, cheap.
Right.
And I think that's really, at that point in time, it was 2007, 2008,
right.
where the Rays moved. They didn't realize that they were going to be good.
Right.
You know, so I think they found a stadium cheap. I think the best place for the Rays in spring training is Orlando.
You know, that's not a bad thought.
The problem with Orlando is nobody else trains in Orlando, and you've got to get all the players on a bus.
Yeah.
And you've got to drive hours to Tampa Bay or Sarasota or Fort Myers or wherever. And you don't want to be the only team in an area. You want two or three spring training teams in a
hub.
You
know, I mean, look at the teams that we have right here in the Pinellas County, Hillsborough area.
Right.
It's amazing. So you do have a nice variety.
Yep.
Mike, I want to thank you so much for partnering with me today.
Always a pleasure.
I want to give you a little shout out again about your up-and-coming, the books that you've got on the market right now.
Sure, sure. So the book Curveball at the Crossroads is the acclaimed. I don't want to say it hasn't won any awards yet, so I'll say acclaimed. It is an acclaimed baseball sports fiction book, and it is second edition is available everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, wherever you can order a book, your local bookstore. Yeah, please do check it out, Curveball at the Crossroads. And we're having a book release party in Ybor City here soon.
When is that?
That is December 20th at an Irish pub in Ybor City. I want to have book release parties on either side of the bay.
Good.
Got to make it convenient, just
right.
like we talked about with baseball.
And how do we reach you, Michael?
So I'm curveballatthecrossroads.com.
Okay.
That's the name of the book and the website. I am on all sorts of social medias. Jordy Scrubbings is the Twitter. Michael, just Google Michael Lortz, that's my name, or Curveball at the Crossroads.
L-O-R-T-Z
or curveballatthecrossroads.com.
Thanks, Michael. Hey, One thing I forgot to ask
you about.
You have a pickleball event.
Oh, my gosh. We didn't talk about that, did we?
No, but we got about 4 minutes to talk about it. I wanted to get you back on because, you know, we had Billy McGee's World of Pickleball here on 9/11.
That's what I heard. Well, this event, it's going to be during the APP Tour, which is at Delray Beach Tennis Center. It is March the 15th through the 20th. But our fundraiser for Pro Athletes in Recovery is March the 18th. And it's going to be a celebrity pickleball tournament, classic, whatever you want to call it. But we're going to have tons of fun. APP, the tour, is going to be part of it. CBS Sports is going to be part of it. So we are really – and this just really fell in our lap, you know. It used to be the Chris Everett celebrity tennis tournament.
Right.
And she's not going to do it anymore. So they asked Athletes in Recovery, Delray Beach did, asked Athletes in Recovery to come in and do something. So we decided to do pickleball. And then just this last week, this thing with the APP tour fell in our lap. So we are, you know, everything's happening like crazy, and it's just falling in our laps. And we're just so grateful because this is our first big fundraiser.
Well, maybe I'll put you in touch with Billy McGee, too, because we had at our pickleball here, we had Kyle Yates, we had Stephanie Lane. We ended up with all of the major
pickleball. Now, do you play?
Pickleball. I did not play in this one.
But do you play?
I do.
Oh, wow.
I do.
Listen, you and Lydia got to get together. Then.
I started playing in California.
Stop it.
Yes, it's 56 years old.
How long ago was that?
Too many years.
Well, you know, pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America.
And it is.
I didn't realize it had been around as long as it had.
It is. And 56 years. And we started playing it. And we used a dead-end tennis ball and a smaller court out in Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, Venice. And we called it paddle tennis.
Lack of a better name. But look, okay, so you're one of the forefathers then of pickleball.
One of the forefathers. Now we're using a wiffle ball.
And actually have rules, right?
So, yeah, that will be March 18th, Athletes in Recovery, pickleball.
Delray Beach Tennis Center in Delray Beach, Florida.
Okay. You'll have to keep me up to date.
Yes.
We'll talk more about that. We'll have you back on the show and talk more about
that
as well. And also give Lydia my best too. Yeah, I didn't know that she played. You know, I've got my paddles out now. I'm a little rusty, but I'm going to get my knees working again and my hips working again.
Yeah, and I think she's looking for even some lessons too. And there's plenty of opportunities around where we live, as you know.
Well, there are, and you know, actually, I have a tennis court at my little complex. On Tierra Verde at Palms of Tierra, and we have more tennis courts on Tierra Verde, and I know Isla has a number of tennis courts as well.
Right.
And yeah.
So it takes away all our excuses not to get involved, right?
Exactly. Randy, thanks again.
Thank you very much.
We'll keep that in mind. For Randy Grimes, Michael Lortz, DJ Madman Mac, Joe Boudreaux, and Big Ed, thanks so much. On the controls, I'm Brandi Winans, thanking you for listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and wishing you and your families a fabulous week. God bless you. God bless America. And be sure to have a championship weekend.